The only way for us to have victory in our life is truly to be loyal to Christ. He is the one that always leads us to victory because he won the victory for us. And as that song we sang prior to that, wave the answer back to heaven, God's word does have all the answers. Everything that we need for life is found in this book. It is a sword. It is water to cleanse our mind. It encourages us. It has everything we need. And when we stay loyal to Christ and his word, we will find victory in our life, in all areas of our life, whatever victory you may need. But we do have to do it, the song says, loyalty, loyalty. Yes, loyalty to Christ. Being faithful, remaining faithful to Christ and to the truth of his word. And tonight I want to talk to us about being rooted in the truth. How many of you have realized that we live in a world full of lies? Even our current president continually speaks lies. You just don't know what he's saying is true. He often just speaks lies. Just even recently, I heard that he made the comment that gas prices has finally dropped down to $3 a gallon. Well, I'd like to know where that is so I can go fill up my gas tank, right? It has not fallen. We just live among a nation that has lies. We live in a world that's full of lies, but as the child of God, we can be rooted in truth, and our life should be rooted in truth, as John writes to the elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Not the, but an antichrist, someone against Christ. There is coming the antichrist, but remember, Jesus even said that there was already a spirit of antichrist in the world. Look to yourselves, and that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bideth him, or he that biddeth him Godspeed, is partaker of his evil deeds. Now listen, those two verses right there are very harsh. I mean, God says, anyone that believes and teaches contrary to the truth, don't even give them a blessing. Don't even, you know, bless them along their way, because if you do, then you're a partaker in their evil deeds. Well, I don't want to be a partaker in the deeds of someone who basically is a blasphemer of the truth, right? Who is a deceiver and deceiving people. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, we ask that you would, Lord, rebuke the devil on our behalf, Father, that he would not be able to snatch the seeds of your word out of our hearts. And Father, that our hearts would be fertile and ready to receive the truth of your word. And Father, the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, Lord, and teach us what we need to learn tonight. And Father, we ask that you would establish our thoughts. Lord, we ask that you would be in control of this hour, that, Father, we would be willing disciples, ready to learn, ready to receive what you have for us tonight and to apply it to our life. Father, it doesn't matter if we live in a world full of lies and liars. Help us, Lord, to always walk in truth. Help us, Lord, to live in truth. And thank you, you've given us the truth of your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. to give us the enlightenment that we need, to illuminate things in our life that are deceiving. Lord, there's many things in this world that do deceive your people, and Father, we ask that we would not be deceived by anything, that you'd give us the discernment that comes through the Holy Spirit to see and to know things that would lead us astray, things that would, I guess, Father, just pick away at our faith and cause us, Lord, to doubt and cause us to walk away from the truth. Father, many are teaching lies in churches, but Father, help us, Lord, to always desire and to crave the truth of your word so that our life can be built upon truth, the truth of your word that will never lead us astray. Thank you, Father, you've given us of your word. Thank you, Lord, that even though you used men to pen down these words, yet it was the Holy Spirit of God that moved these men to write your word, to write these letters to different churches and to write them to individuals and to write, obviously, the history of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how he lived that perfect life that we could not live, to die the death that we could not die, to pay for the sins we could not pay for, so that we could have life and have it eternally, a gift that never is taken away. Father, I ask that you would help us to be grounded in the truth of your word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, tonight I want to talk about being rooted in truth. As John writes to a church and the believers in that church, it's not to a specific lady, but in this time, he kind of had to be a little discreet so this letter could get to these believers. And as he addresses this church and says, unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. Just as Paul loved those believers he would write to at Colossae, at Ephesus, at Galatia, there in Thessalonica, these different groups of believers, these believers that are in the body of Christ, and Paul would write and just he'd encourage them and say, you're always in my prayers. Here John writes to a church, writes to a group of believers and tells them how much he loves them in the truth. You realize we all have different personalities. We all have different likes and dislikes. Not everybody in here likes. I turn this off and go to this, because we're not even going to fool with it. Is this on? All right, you may have to crank it up then. But just as we have different likes and dislikes, unfortunately not everybody in here likes pecan pie. Now that, I think, you know, if you love pecan pie, you're on the right side of God, all right? But again, you know what I'm saying? We all have our different likes and dislikes, okay? But what is it that bonds us together? It's not pecan pie, right? What bonds us together is the truth of Jesus Christ, that our faith is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived that perfect life that we could not live, to die the death we could not die, to pay for our sins we cannot pay for, so we would have life, that we would have eternal life, that we would have a relationship with a living God who loved us first. Therefore, we love him. But just as John, okay, it's not about what you like to wear, what you don't like to wear, what music you like to listen to. I believe that if we walk in the Spirit, if we give our life to the Lord, then you know what? He will conform us into who we need to be conformed into, and that's the image of Christ, right? Because I can dress up with a suit. That doesn't mean I'm gracious and loving. It doesn't mean I'm a follower of Christ, right? What is it that proves we are followers of Jesus Christ and disciples of Christ? Jesus said that they will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another, right? True love, not love like I love pizza today and tomorrow I hate it, right? But a love that is an unconditional love. Doesn't matter your nationality, doesn't matter your background. I love you because you are my brother and sister in Christ. And John, as he writes to this church, he says, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. One thing I want us to think about is what he says in verse number 4 as we get started.
He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. He found of the church people walking in truth. Not according to what I think truth is. I mean, there's been many messages in many churches over the decades that was basically the pastor's preference, but not scripture. Okay, we all have our preference. Preference has its place, but not when it comes to preaching the truth of God's word. Because, you know what? I pray for each and every one of you, and I think that you pray for me. You know, sometimes, whatever you pray for, hopefully you're praying good things for me, that, you know, I'll remain walking with the Lord and teaching and speaking the truth of God's word. But there's things that he says, walking in truth. Again, as we start in the book of Revelation, that's the one thing that Jesus had against the church of Ephesus. Remember, he commended them of all the things that they did. They labored and they did all these things for the Lord, but they were lacking one thing, and what was it? They had forsaken their first love. Go to Revelation chapter 2 real quick. I know we've been to it a couple of times today already, but it really goes with this, because this is what John brings out. He brings out love in his letter to this church. And Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, and again, he's writing to some believers. He says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for thy name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. They were faithful in serving God. They were faithful in doing what they knew they were supposed to do. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They were doing everything right, but it wasn't because of their love for Christ. They kind of fell into just the routine of doing it. And sometimes being familiar with something is our downfall. You're familiar with a lot of scripture. You're familiar with some very important doctrine in scripture. Don't ever allow yourself to get to a point where you kind of gloss, well, I know what that says. I know what that means. Still allow yourself to read it, to meditate on it, to absorb it, so it continues to change you and keep you grounded in the truth. Yes, God wants us to do everything right according to his word, the serving, the laboring, the trying the spirits as they were doing. They were rejecting men that claimed to be apostles but were denying Jesus Christ. They were like the Bereans, searching the scriptures, making sure that, you know what, everything was right, that they weren't being deceived, right? God wants us to be diligent in not allowing yourself to be deceived and led astray. Unfortunately, a lot of churches are changing their stand upon truth. And what is truth? Again, the world's view of truth is it's optional. It changes. But standing upon the truth of God's word, that our life is supposed to be built upon, that we're guided by this, that no matter what happens in this world, no matter how the culture changes, how society changes, how the minds of people change on what they say is good and evil, right? Because the world will say what's good is evil, what's evil is good. The world says, hey, it's okay to kill unborn babies because they're not, you know, they're not alive. I mean, the world has its view of what they say is right. They say you are evil for believing that a child should live. Right? My body, my choice. That's not the way God views it. And I know that's a truth that Bible-believing Christians stand upon. The value of life and how life does start in the womb. It starts at conception. And how even it was said of John the Baptist, right? He leaped in Elizabeth's womb when he heard the voice of Mary. We understand that. But you understand there are so many other doctrines that the world twists and fights against, that the devil wants us to put our guard down. Now look, the rootedness in Christ stems from a desire to grow in him and a decision to trust him and his ways. We learn those ways through his word, and those ways are rooted in his truth. Without Jesus' truth, no one can know him, because he is truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Being rooted in the truth of God's word, and truth is, you know what? If we love Christ, we're going to love his word. We're going to love his teachings. We're going to love doctrine. It doesn't matter if the world says that there is X number of genders out there. There's two. I mean, it's right? 1 + 1 = 2. In the beginning, God created male and female. It doesn't name all the other genders the world wants to list, right? Now, these are simple truths that we understand and we believe. But again, it is truth. It is truth that bonds us together and bonds us to Christ. When you look at verses 1 through 3, we see our relationship to the truth. Everybody with me so far? Who likes to be lied to? I love it. Right? I love it when someone just so convincingly tells me a lie and I'm like, "Really?" And they're like, "Nah, I'm just lying." Right? We love being lied to by different types of car sales people. I mean, just everybody, right? We just love it. I mean, no, we want truth, right? Everybody wants truth. Even the liar wants truth. When a liar is lied to, you can't lie to me, right? We want truth. And we should live a life of truth. I've said it before, but there's no such thing as a little white lie with God. God abhors lying. Yea, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. He can't stand lying. Why? Because the devil is the father of lies. Aren't you glad that God's word is truth? There is no error in it. That's why you and I can base our life upon God's word. That's when we can follow the commandments of the Lord and be blessed. But again, when you look at these verses 1 through 3, again, he says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Truth is our bond. In Romans 8:38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." True or false? True, nothing can. But what if it's not listed there? It doesn't list, you know, my car breaking down. I know somebody recently, I say recently as in, I think it was like a month ago, their vehicle, they just got it back from the shop. It's a diesel truck. They had a lot of work done on it. They just got it back. And as soon, before they even got home with it, the brakes went out. And this kid was livid. He was so mad at God, cursing God, and saying, I'm done with God. Now, what does God have to do with your car? Number one, I know the kid, he doesn't come to church. He doesn't read his Bible. He doesn't walk with God. He claims to know Christ, but his life doesn't represent. What I'm saying is that here, his car, the brakes go out. There's a car problem, and he's mad at God. You know how silly that sounds? Now, I believe God can keep the car running. I mean, I already gave you the story of God keeping, you know, the car from running out of gas when I, you know, just purposely kept going past gas stations because I was looking right for the perfect one. The light's already on. I mean, there, as far as I know, I'm running on fumes, and God had a little mercy as he said, I got to help this kid, and got me to the gas station. Okay, I know God can keep vehicles running, but why is it some people want to just blame God for everything that happens when they're not willing to do anything for God? Now listen, I know that Romans 8, 38, and 39 are true. There is nothing, and you know there's nothing that can happen in your life that's going to cause God not to love you. Because his love is in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I mean, rooted in truth. But again, if we're not walking with the Lord, if we're not walking circumspectly before God, then you know what? When something bad happens, when something is out of our control, we think that. We think, you know, God's being a big meanie. God's being a big bully. Well, sometimes, you know, God does kind of correct his children when we're not walking with him, because he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to fellowship. But the truth is, nothing that happens in this world will separate you and me from the love of God. It is our bond, truth. Truth is, God loves you more than that vehicle. God loves you more than that job. He loves you more than you and I can ever really fathom in our finite mind. Now, his love is manifested through Jesus Christ. I mean, he manifested his love on the cross of Calvary. But I still don't comprehend why he does so much for me. I know I'm a child of his. I know he loves me, but there's still days I'm thinking, who am I that you're mindful of me? I'm more of a headache than you need. Because I need a lot of help and a lot of work. What I'm saying is, our relationship to the truth, it's our bond. It bonds us to the Lord. It reminds us that in addition to his love, our bond of truth should have the cord of discernment. Discernment. The church of Ephesus, they were doing everything right, but they didn't have the discernment to realize, you know what? I'm just going through the motions. My heart's not in it anymore. I've lost the love for my Savior. I'm just finding myself going through the motion because, again, if you love somebody, you go out of their way for them. There's things you'll do for them. I mean, you're looking for an opportunity to show your love. Again, I mean, a parent with a child, their children, I mean, they're, you know, if you're still raising children, do your children question if you love them or not? But unfortunately, sometimes we question God if God loves us, and God's a far better father than I am. He's a far better parent, if I can use that word for God, than I am, right? So why do we ever question God's love? But it is. Our bond of truth should have the cord of discernment. Discernment safeguards the truth, and that is why God does not call us to an indiscriminate bond of love. Look at Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 9 and 10. Again, truth is our bond. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." You know what? If our love abounds more and more in the knowledge of God and in his judgments, in his word, guess what? Our love will be perfected. We'll have this love not only for the Lord, but for those that are in the family of God. We'll have a love that we understand that it's the love of God flowing through us. He goes on to say that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Again, this truth. Again, not everybody wants truth. Not everybody believes in truth. Not everybody stands upon truth, but the child of God should stand upon truth. It is our bond in this relationship. God's given us truth. You know what? God does not have to prove anything. He's given the truth. He's given the facts. What does he need to prove? But you know what? I have to prove my love to him. I have to prove my devotedness to him. I have to prove that, you know what? I do want to be a dedicated disciple of Christ. I want to be a faithful follower of the Lord. And it's his love that is true. We are to approve that which is excellent. Our love should abound with knowledge and judgment. Judgment is his word, it's discernment, and it is the bond that keeps us close to the Lord. Look at verse 2 and 3 of 2 John. Because not only is it our bond, but it is our strength. Truth is strength. Because you know if something's built upon lies, it's going to unravel. So many relationships have been built upon lies and it has unraveled. Businesses have been built upon lies and have unraveled. If it's built upon lies, it will not stand. But if it's built upon truth, and what is truth? It's being honest. It's being open. Again, the Lord doesn't have to, convince us of anything. He doesn't have to make anything right with us. Again, Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus and says, "I know your works." He knows us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we think, sometimes I think I'm doing pretty good. And the Lord says, and he reveals something in my heart. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was still there. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth, we're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Right? And the Lord says, well, it's been in your heart. What I'm saying is God knows us better. He knew the church of Ephesus. He knew the believers. And he was concerned that they had lost their love for him. They had forsaken their first love. They were saved on the way to heaven, but God wants so much more for you, so much more for your life. And here he says in verse 2 and 3, "For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Now the word truth, right here in verse 2, means objectively. He says, for the truth's sake. What is true in any matter under consideration according to truth. You can't change truth, right? Some people will try to deny truth, but think about the Bereans. When they were hearing what Paul was preaching, they searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying matched up to what God had already said in his word. And they found that Paul was true. Paul was saying what was true. So truth is our strength. Truth strengthens your spiritual relationship with the Lord. It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faithfulness. It strengthens your resolve to stay true and faithful to the one who's been true and faithful to you. This is the truth that will remain forever. It is a strong, abiding truth we can hold on to, for it never changes. No matter what the circumstances or culture may be, God's truth never changes. Aren't you glad that God's truth never changes? Again, some people will say something that seems true, but people change their minds all the time. What color is the sky? We all say it's blue, but some days it's not blue. Some days it's kind of gray. Now, is that true? Well, that's true. But sometimes, you know, just like as the sky changes colors, we change our minds. And sometimes we question what people say. Because again, we're lovers of truth. We want truth. And God's truth never changes. Now, if God's truth never changes, guess what that means? He never changes. He never changes. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Now, if there's anyone we can fully trust 100%, it's God. And God says, "I never change. I do not change." That means his love for you doesn't change. His mercy for you doesn't change. His desire for you to be more like Christ doesn't change. Nothing changes about God. I'm glad, you know, God's character doesn't change. I'm glad that his faithfulness never changes. His love never changes. His mercy never changes. I'm glad that his plan of salvation never changes. Because we make plans and sometimes we have to change our plans for one reason or another. But God has never and will never change his plan of salvation. Aren't you glad that you're not going to get to those pearly gates and have Peter standing there and saying, "Oh, wait, you can't come in. God changed it just a millisecond ago that you cannot come in." He'll never do that. And Peter's not going to be standing at the pearly gate waiting for me. You and I will see Jesus Christ face to face. And we won't be denied entrance into heaven because we've put our faith and trust in God, and God's not a man that he should lie. God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." If God doesn't change, his character doesn't change, his word does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We love truth, and we love truth that doesn't change because it is 100% truth. And our Lord and Savior never changes, and that is our strength. We talked about strength this morning. We talked about being the branch in the vine and how we get our strength from the vine and Jesus Christ being that vine. And we get strength from the truth. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3 again says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." God's goodness and grace are the motivators that should lead us along in our walk with him. His goodness and his grace should be the motivators in our life that lead us along in our walk with him. Because he's always good and he's always gracious. Yes, he knew who he was getting when he saved you and me. And he saved us not because we were righteous. Remember, Jesus said, "I came not to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. I came to save people who need help and know they need help." You know what the Pharisees did? They always were finding something to accuse Jesus about. And Jesus had a Pharisee invite him into his home for a meal. And there were sinners. There were publicans, just the lowlife of the town, all there. And they just couldn't understand why Jesus would surround himself with such lowlifes, such people that they disdained, right? Because they even his own disciples, I mean, they were kind of, when Mary Magdalene came to Jesus and anointed his feet with the tears of her eyes and wiped his feet with her hair and anointed his head with that ointment from the alabaster box. I mean, even his own disciples was like, what waste is this? They didn't even get the fact that what you do for the Lord is not a waste. The sacrifice you give out of a loving heart, out of a repentant heart to your Savior, it's not a waste. The Lord sees it as a sacrifice. The Lord sees it as love. And his mercy and peace and love should cause us to desire his truth. Again, we love truth. Why don't we walk more through the scriptures? I know the older people in here probably remember the yellow pages. Remember that big old thick book they would like drop off at your house? I remember as a kid just seeing that big old thick book and, man, they got all the names of people in here. And we don't need that anymore. But what was the commercial? Let your fingers do the walking, right? You'd walk through the yellow pages. Well, our hearts need to continue doing the walking through God's word. Because it's the truth that bonds us together. It's the truth that bonds us to our Savior. It's the truth that strengthens our resolve to never change, just like our Savior never changes. Nothing in this world should change your faith and your resolve to follow the truth of God's word and to follow Christ. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the world says, we know what is true. And have we left our first love? His truth is our strength. It is truth that holds us firm in our walk with the Lord. Jesus said that we were to keep his commandments. When you look at verses 4 through 8, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we know God is love, right? God is love. And Jesus does not teach anywhere in Scripture the wealth and health gospel. He even says, the Bible even says, if you will live godly, if you'll live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. If you try to live for the Lord, you're going to have resistance, right? The health and wealth gospel says, hey, you just believe and it'll be given to you, right? I still cannot get my wallet to be full of money when I say, oh, you fat wallet full of money. I just can't get it to do what those men say to do. But I have proven God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who owns it all, and he's always provided. Shall not your God supply your every need according to Jesus Christ? Right? So again, when you think about what they're saying, look to yourselves in verse number 8, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now look, this is our responsibility with the truth that God has given us. We're to walk in it. We're to live in it. We're to do something with it. What good is a vehicle if you never use it? Right? Someone has a vehicle, and I mean, it runs. I mean, it's got a tank full of gas. I mean, but you know, it's there if I need it. It's there if I want to drive it, and I'll just walk. Usually, I mean, if we have something that's usable and can benefit us, what do? We use it. How often do we neglect the use of God's word? I know it. I know what it says in a nutshell. But there's something to just reading it. I have nothing against phones that have Bible apps on them. I have a phone that has 2 Bible apps on them. But there's something to opening up the Bible and turning the pages and looking at the words. There's something different. God's word's powerful, whether it's on your phone, your computer, your iPad, whatever. But there's something about feeling the pages. I know of somebody that when she was a little girl, she came from a somewhat troubled home. And she would talk about just having the Bible and just falling asleep with her face on the Bible. And just something about it. You know, I've fallen asleep on other books too and never did anything but give me a kink in my neck. But there's something about the Word of God. You know it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. You know it brings comfort. You know it changes your thinking. It encourages you. And as John writes to this group of believers, he talks to them about reading the Word of God because it is truth. You go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're supposed to think on things that are true, that are lovely, that have a good report, right? Don't let the news media clog up your mind with all the garbage. Okay, we already know the world is wicked, and because the world is wicked, there's wickedness. We already know that the world's going to get worse. We already know things are going to happen. Why saturate our minds with that where it causes our heart to start questioning the things of God and start kind of drifting away from the comfort and the peace and the stability of Jesus Christ? We are to saturate our minds with the Word of God. We are to read, and it's nothing new, but you know what? Sometimes we have to be reminded of what we already know we're supposed to do. Because our days get busy. I'll do it later. Tomorrow. No, tomorrow never comes. Lazy people often say tomorrow. It's not saying you're lazy, it's just sometimes we think, okay, I'll do it later, but because time flies and we know there's not enough time in a day because, you know, God only gave us 24 hours and God knows I can't accomplish everything in 24 hours. No, we can. He gave us enough time. We just have to schedule our time. We have to make that time to read the Word of God so we are grounded and rooted in truth. Because the Word of God will filter and it'll cleanse our mind of all the garbage we've heard all day, whether you're watching the news, whether you're listening to some podcast, whatever it is, God doesn't want our minds and hearts to be saturated with that. He wants it to be saturated with the Word of God so that we continue to think truth, we continue to remain steadfast in truth because God's truth never changes. You're to read the Word of God. You're to study the Word of God. You're even to memorize the Word of God. I don't even know if that's really even, said anymore. Keep memorizing the Word of God. It used to be a big deal. People would memorize the Word of God, especially when they didn't have a copy of it. They'd memorize as much as they could so they could meditate on it. I think for the most part, God's people have stopped meditating because we have it with us. We have so many copies of it. You know, think to yourself, how many copies of the Bible do you have? Whether it's a hard copy, whether it's on your phone, your computer. I mean, think of just all the different copies you probably have. But you know what? If something is so important to us, we take care of it. We guard it. And God wants us to guard His Word. He wants us to hide it in our hearts so that we don't sin against Him. And what is one of the greatest sins a child of God can commit? Leaving their first love. Leaving their first love. This is God's love letter to us. I remember all the letters that my wife wrote to me in high school, and I wrote to her. Some guys like me, I'm not a big writer. I wrote her letters, and I think they probably fit maybe in a shoebox. The letters she wrote me, I had a bigger box that they fit in, right? And there were times where I would just, read through them. You know what? There's even one time I was so curious. As a kid, I went up in my parents' attic and I found a box of my dad's stuff when he was in the Air Force. And there was this little bitty box. It had some letters in there from my mom when she couldn't be with him when he was, going through boot camp and different things. I thought, wow, kept those letters. You know, I read them, and they were pretty neat. It was like, wow, they really were in love then. Every time you read this, not only is it true, but you realize, man, God still loves me. God still has a purpose for me. God still wants me to stand on truth. God still wants me to stand upon the truth of his word. I'm to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When was the last time, hopefully today, but when was the last time you read the word of God and you beheld wondrous things out of it? You actually got something out of the listing of all the names back in Numbers. I mean, you read through a whole host, and you're like, I can't even pronounce these names. And sometimes, you know, we do. We're tempted to kind of skip over because, you know, well, it's just a bunch of names. But when was the last time you thought, you know, what's the importance of those names? And some of the names you recognize, okay, yeah, I know who that is. But what's the importance of God listing all these names in Scripture? I'm sure it reminds you of what it reminds me of. The names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted out. Then you know what? The names, though they may not be important to me, they're important to God, because those names represent a life that God gave. God gave life to those people. He gave life to you and me to experience his love, to experience a relationship with him, so that you and I could learn that, you know what? My God never changes. His word never changes. The world changes, but I can stand upon the truth of God's word that never changes. And you know what? I'm going to base my life upon it. I'm going to live my life upon it. I'm going to let it guide my life. Don't believe everything I say. Believe everything God says. Tonight, I just want us to think about being rooted in God's truth. Because God's truth will always lead us to do the right thing. God's truth will always lead us to remain faithful to him, faithful in following his word and following the teachings of Christ and allowing him to work in our life and changing us, preparing us to meet our Lord and Savior face to face. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. John rejoiced greatly that he found of her children the church, the believers, walking in truth. Walking in truth. Verses 9 through 12, we see the reward of the truth as we come to a close. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. John says that our joy, my joy and your joy, may be full. Now our relationship with one another and with the Lord is and should be rooted in truth. And again, that truth is, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ, and vice versa, right? We're in the family of God, that's truth. Truth bonds us together. Again, I may not like the same colors you like, but that doesn't bond. That's not what bonds us together. What bonds us together is the blood of Christ, right? We're in the family of God. Now, we have a responsibility to walk in the truth, but there's more. We actually personally benefit through the truth. In verse 9, we have an eternal relationship. He points it out. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What's the doctrine of Christ? The death, burial, and resurrection. Who he is. Not everyone believes that he is the only begotten Son of God. Not everybody believes that he was incarnate, that he came and he dwelt among us. That's the bond we have. That's the truth we have. And God says, you know what? If there's anybody else that does not believe that, we're not even supposed to bid them Godspeed, right? He's supposed to pray for God's blessing upon them. You ever had a Jehovah's Witness come knocking on your door? You're not supposed to be nice. I don't mean you're not supposed to be mean and rotten and dirty to them, but I'm saying, you know, they're not a brother or sister in Christ. They are a deceiver. They are a child of the devil. Not everybody that claims the name of Christ is a child of God. Look, there's only one way of salvation, you know that, walking in the truth. That'll never change. I'll never change my mind on that. And more than likely, you'll never change your mind on that either, because Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I'm glad the wrath of God does not abide on us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Right? That's a truth that will never change. You will never face the wrath of God. And there are some that believe that we will face the wrath of God before the rapture. Well, then God's a liar. You just read Scripture. Plainly, it tells you, we have not been appointed unto wrath. We're not going to face the wrath that God pours out on this world when the Antichrist is in control. Again, truth is what our life is to be based upon and built upon, and the truth that comes from God's word. It is the truth that gives us eternal relationships. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Who's the true God? Lots of people have their opinion of who God is, but who's the true God? The people of Ephesus, not talking about the church, but the people of Ephesus, the citizens of Ephesus, even those that would travel to Ephesus, believed in the goddess of Diana. They believed that, you know, what they received fell from Jupiter. I mean, they believed it, they taught it, but that wasn't truth. This is the true God, Jesus Christ. He's not a God, he's the God. He's the only true living God, Jesus Christ. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Again, this truth that we are rooted in reminds us of who our God is and what he has done for us and what he has preserved us from, or saved us from. Look at verse 12, though. We have a relationship with the Lord, but we also have a relationship not just with those that are part of this church, but those that are part of other Bible-believing churches that believe the same that we believe. "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." You know what? Our joy should be full when we see others, when we see God's people walking in truth, not just here, but all around the world, all around Oxford. You know, those that are believing and living and trusting the truth of God's word, we should rejoice. Because you know what? Their lives are being changed too. John says that our joy may be full. Again, like I said, we don't all agree on the same color. It's silly, but you know it's true. There have been churches that have split over the color of the carpet. You know, the first time I heard that, I thought, man, that's kind of silly. Is that really, that just must be something preachers say. I found out, no, it's true. Because people are so dead set on their preference, and their preference is the best preference, that if you don't take their preference, well, then you've assaulted them, you offended them, and you know what? They're leaving. It's not about us. It's about him. The color of carpet, that's determined by him. You might think, well, how is that? Well, if we all want God's will to be done, if we have a desire that God's glorified, then guess what? Lord, show all of us what color the carpet is supposed to be. I mean, that's really a silly example, because it really should be, Lord, show us how you want us to be as a people. The carpet doesn't matter. Is the carpet going to cause somebody to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? No. It is walking in truth. You know what? Sometimes, and some of God's people have had to do it, have had to walk away from churches because the church stopped teaching truth. They cared more about, you know, just pleasing the people. They cared more about their agenda. I mean, I've been in churches like that. But it is all about walking in truth, because you know what matters at the end of your day? That you were not deceived and led astray, but you stayed on the straight and narrow path that God placed your feet upon, and you've allowed yourself to be led by his truth. And it's not just his word, because sometimes I don't have a copy of God's word with me. Sometimes I can't open my phone and read the Bible while I'm driving. Some people do read things while they're driving. They shouldn't be doing that. But I'm saying there's just times where, you know what, that we have the Holy Spirit of God that shows us the way we need to walk, shows us the direction, shows us what we need to avoid. Here's something that should be a desire in all of our hearts. I want to finish the course that God's put me on. I want to get to the end and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Again, not because I did everything perfect, but because I was diligent to always match up what somebody was saying to the word of God. I matched everything up to the word of God. And you know what? Don't be afraid to question. I'll be honest. If you hear me say something, question me. Because I'll admit, sometimes I do say things, you know, because I'm talking and thinking, and sometimes it gets jumbled up and I may say something. I'm not saying, you know, something that's, you know, doctrinally not correct, but, you know, sometimes I may say something, I don't know about that. Well, let's see what the Bible says, right? I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not offended. I don't expect, do what I say, you know, listen to me. No. Because, look, I'm just a human too. I can make the wrong choices at times too. But you know what? If I'm following God's word, it'll never lead me astray. If you build your life upon God's word, I know not everybody in our life does. But what are you doing? What am I doing with the truth of God's word? Am I rooted in the truth? I don't know everything, but you know what? I'm rooted enough that I will be a Berean and I will search the scriptures to find out, is that true? Because I don't want to be led astray. And God doesn't want you to be led astray. That's why he's given us a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.